Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Sarah Wigley, a clinical associate professor of voice at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champain. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sarah.
It's great to be here, Tim.
And I flubbed your position. I practiced before we started. That's just not one that I'm used to saying, so I apologize for that. So as our listeners know, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could please just give us a little bit of your history, training, and career that led you up to your time in Illinois.
Sure. Well, I always start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. And I grew up with a choral director as a father in the house. So I grew up with tons of different types of music. Everything from Bach and Aaron Copland to Miles Davis to all the musical theater. I grew up in a really musical family. My mother and my father and I all did community theater every year growing up. So my father was the music director. My mother was in the show. I was in the show. And I always loved all styles of singing. And I went on to do a voice performance degree thinking, well, voice performance, that's cool. That means I get to explore all types of singing. Well, back in the time when I was going into undergrad, that was not the case. And I'll never forget, I love telling my students a story. I was sitting in my first studio class, and I was like, oh, cool, like, that's a German song, that's really neat. And the next song was French, and then the next was like an opera aria in Italian. And I was like, so when do I hear like jazz or like musical theater? And I didn't even realize that voice performance meant you are doing art song only. You are doing arias and art song. And I loved learning about that. I really enjoyed that, but I always longed to do musical theater. And I went on to do a master's degree, also in voice performance. My undergraduate degree is from the University of Minnesota, and my graduate degree is from Colorado State University. And that happened totally happenstance. I was actually finding quite a bit of success in the musical theater world in Minneapolis. I was working with Minnesota Opera. I was working with another smaller opera company. I was working at the Guthrie Theater. And to be honest, I had no training in musical theater. I just loved it. And so I just started auditioning. And I took 1 year after my undergraduate degree and was working as a professional actress. And then I met the director of the opera program out of Colorado State. And he said, I would love for you to audition for us. And I thought, why not just go for a graduate degree? We'll see what happens. And I ended up teaching there, had an assistantship, and the whole time was doing musical theater on the side. So I was going into Denver and Boulder and doing musical theater. And that directly led me into my first teaching job. So I was a month and a half out of my master's degree and got a call from the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. And at the time, we had an amazing musical theater department. I knew all about it. And they said, hey, we've got this vacancy. Would you be interested in interviewing for this position for a musical theater professor? And I was like, I mean, are you sure you want me to do that? I'm really young, and I have really 2 degrees in voice. And I got the job and loved it. Loved teaching musical theater. And I gobbled up everything. I wanted to know so much about the voice because I was one of those sopranos. I was like lyric sopranos that always wanted to know how to belt. Always. And I went through 2 degrees. By this time, it's like 6 years of formal training. And I still didn't do it. And I would go to all these auditions. And I'm 5'10". And I have dark coloring, and they'd always go, yeah, that's great, like, you sing all these things, but can you belt? And I would have to go, oh, I'm sorry, I don't. And it was starting to be so disheartening and annoying and frustrating, and I took the opportunity to start my teaching world at the University of Northern Colorado to really, really learn, how does this happen? What's the vocal science of this? And became kind of obsessed with it. And I was still performing while I was in that job. I was performing in Colorado. So that's kind of how teaching found me, in all honesty. It consistently has found me. And everyone asks, you know, do you miss performing? No, not really, because I love teaching so very much.
I agree with that. I get asked that all the time, and I feel the same way. So what you're saying is that your training and history and career has sort of been a little bit of a mashup of opera and musical theater, which is a great segue, thank you, into my next question. Tell us about the degree that you represent.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Tim. My entire background for the life I had been leading up until this job came open at the University of Illinois was leading me to this moment of time, because in 2014, the opera department at the University of Illinois, it's always been very traditional until that point, decided to become the lyric theater area, which means they encompass musical theater, operetta, and opera from that point on. They decided to have two hires, an accompanist coach and a voice teacher. So I got word that that job was open to help develop curriculum in 2014. And to recruit the first class, and what would that be? What's the philosophy? How do we do that? How can we do that? There's clearly a need, because there's a lot of people like me that don't want to be pigeonholed, and that believe that versatility is the key for your own artistry, and also just to find optimal amounts of work. So that job became open, and to be honest with you, I never thought I'd get the job, because I'm like, oh, this is my dream job. And I, you know, at that time I had 5 years of teaching experience, and I hadn't been on Broadway, and I thought there's, and I got the job, and I'm so grateful I did. And it took us 3 years of constantly talking philosophy with the directors of the program, who are Nathan and Julie Gunn. They are the ones that are the co-chairs of the program. And we spent a lot of time thinking about what is at the core of our philosophy about what type of student we're looking for and what we are going to do here with the 4 years that these people are going to give us their time and energy and money, to be honest. What is our core belief system? And then we developed the curriculum, and it took 3 years to pass through the College of Fine and Applied Arts, the School of Music, the Board of Regents. So we have been a Bachelor of Musical Arts in Lyric Theater is the title of the curriculum, Bachelor of Musical Arts, since 2017 is when we became a fully realized curriculum that was passed and approved through all the various parts of the University of Illinois.
So a BMA in mm-hmm. Lyric Theater. What the heck does that mean?
What the heck does that mean? I love answering that question, Tim. So a BMA is about 30% is how the core curriculum is in the School of Music. And in our classes that are music-oriented, like music theory, oral skills, things like ear training, right? Music history, voice lessons, ensemble work, so different types of choirs. And then the other 70% is all possibility. So we are dedicated to flexibility. So the three big words when we came up with our philosophy after those 3 years of meetings were flexibility, creativity, and wellness. That's what we all agreed were going to be the three big words: flexibility, creativity, and wellness. So the piece of the pie that is option rich could be anything from dramaturgical work and directing to more languages, or it could be choreography or Alexander technique or African dance or tap. So it's incredibly flexible. That's what makes the BMA different than a BM in performance. So a BM in performance means it's 50% at least housed in the School of Music. So that's why, and also a BFA is typically out of a theater program. So that's going to look like a very different type of curriculum structurally than ours does.
Right. So let's imagine that I am a freshman on my way to Urbana-Champaign to start my BMA in Lyric Theater. What does my first year look like?
Your first year, we do get you right into musicianship and music theory. And that is a 3-semester track. So we want to start right away with that because, of course, those skills are fundamental for all things sight reading. You do voice lessons right away. And you would be in fundamentals of acting right away. And you would be in a dance class. Now, here's another thing that sets us apart from most programs. We want you dancing, but dance is not part of our audition process, and nor do we dictate what dance you do. So we have had people come through the program with 16 years of dance that are advanced in ballet, and they go directly to ballet 4, and they take advanced dance classes because we work very collaboratively with our dance faculty. We've also had people that have never danced in anything. They have barely danced in shows. They have had no dance training. And then they start with ballet 1, modern 1, and then we work in tandem with a lot of advising to see where they should go from there. And some people are really, really interested in more contemporary dance forms, and they go that route. Some are interested in choreography. Some are interested in more somatic work, so they take more Alexander. So it's incredibly, again, flexible, and we're always advising with the student because that dance portion of the curriculum could look 200 different ways. We just say we want you in a dance course every semester. So if you're a freshman, you could be in ballet 4, you could be in tap 2, you could be in modern 1, you could be in African dance. It really depends on what your dance training coming in is. And then that would probably be almost a full load. We do have the one requirement we have that's going to feel like it's a little bit more similar to a voice performance degree is Italian. And that's because Italian is such a singable language and so much repertoire. If you're interested in, quote, crossover, voice is going to be in Italian. So there's one semester of Italian.
Wow. So, I mean, the thing you say about dance is it sort of drives home the point that I'm always saying to students is to remember that you are auditioning for the opportunity to be trained. You're not auditioning for a job. So don't let where you may be in one of the 3 disciplines discourage you from applying to a program. And I'm actually really happy to hear you say that dance is part of your curriculum, but not part of the audition process, because I think that there are fewer and fewer schools that's the case. Dance is obviously something that is important in musical theater, but it's something that I think of any of the 3 disciplines, that's the one that students have the least amount of training in, sometimes just because of where they are in the country, they don't have access to it. So that's really wonderful to hear. And it sounds like to me that the students are able to start customizing their track and their path right from the first year they're there.
Yeah, exactly. And the other part of the way we look at dance is, if you look at the big picture of the industry as a whole, how are we to know what's happening with what sung theater on stage and dance, right? Because you've got An American in Paris, which is ballet. You've got Fela, which is African dance. You've got so much hip hop going on with things like In the Heights and Hamilton, and you know, a million other things. And you've got modern. You've got every type of dance. And then there's revivals of Anything Goes. Or you're going to need to know how to tap dance. So it's really like, let's work with the other parts of you as an artist. So what's really cool is, because we're constantly advising, if I'm in a lesson with a student and I'm really, really seeing that the student has a hard time getting in their lower body and grounding, I'll say, I think the dance class you need for the spring is going to be hip hop. It's going to be African dance, because it's going to help your singing to get into that grounding lower body instead of being in an elongation of a ballet class. But it can also happen vice versa, where I'm seeing, like, in the singing part of their day, they could use the elongation. Then I'll say, can we get you in ballet 2 next semester? I think that's the way to go, because I'm seeing them in so many different facets of what sung theater and the possibilities are every single day.
Mm-hmm. And what about for the dancer, like you said, that has had 16 years of dance under their belt before they get to you? What are the opportunities for them to still be challenged for the 4 years as well. Like that to me sounds like a really wide range of dance abilities that you're going to have to accommodate during your 4 years there. So what do you do for that student?
Well, we wouldn't be able to do any of this without our incredible colleagues in dance, because they truly take on all of this. So they essentially absorb the students that have those necessities that need to be pushed more to a higher level of dance degree. And because our program is small, we do cap at 14 per class. So the amount or ratio of students that are going to be that advanced in dance when we cap at 14 is very, very small. And dance will simply, the protocol is you go to the very first dance class. If you say, I'm an advanced dancer, you do an audition like everybody else does. And there's dance majors, you know, there's fourth year, there's seniors in their undergraduate degree getting a dance degree. And so our student would be right alongside those dance majors taking that advanced ballet class or taking an advanced tap class. So it's really about building an incredibly collegial environment. And trust me when I say, when we were building this program for the first 3 years, we had so many coffee dates to try and bridge that gap and really get out of our silos of I'm the music department, I'm the theater department, I'm the dance department, because this wouldn't be possible without our dance faculty being incredible.
And talk to me about the ability for, I mean, it sounds like everything is so customizable. With a Bachelor of Music program, not a BMA, but a Bachelor of Music program, it's usually more difficult to take on a minor or study things outside of the School of Music, just because the degree itself requires so many of your credit hours. What are the possibilities for students who may have interests in other areas to also include that in their studies?
We've had a couple of students obtain a minor in different languages. So they develop an interest in, or they have always had an interest in French. And there's especially that junior and senior year room to take advanced French courses and obtain a minor in a language. There's so much flexibility in the curriculum that a lot of times there's not the need to actually get a full minor, because you can get such a good taste of upper divisional coursework. But there's room to get a minor. I would say that if it's in the College of Fine and Applied Arts, it's going to be so much easier than saying, I want a minor in biology. You're probably going to have to be here for another year to 2 years if it's completely out of Fine and Applied Arts. But if you say, I want a minor in something within an arts-driven curriculum, that's going to be pretty, I wouldn't say easy, but you're going to have a lot of credit hours, but it would be possible.
Right. And I remind students and parents all the time, too, that, like, if you get a minor in psychology, it's not like if this musical theater thing doesn't work out for you, you can become a psychologist. The minor isn't really something you hang on the wall. It's just the training that you're adding to it. So if you're able to do that without the minor, certificate, distinction, whatever, or that those letters added on your degree, that's the same. That's awesome. And so talk to us about performance opportunities. Are students allowed, this question is always asked, and I'm not saying that I agree that it is super important, but the question is asked, are freshmen allowed to audition for the shows?
We have the freshmen hold off until the spring semester to be in our shows. So they do not audition to be in the fall shows, but they audition in the fall to be in the spring shows. And it is incredibly common for a freshman, if not a couple freshmen, to be cast in the spring shows. But we have one semester where we think it's really important to get the fundamentals secured and just for all the freshmen to get their bearings, really make sure that they're in sync with their voice teacher and what's happening vocally before they jump into a show and they get cast and, oh my gosh, now I've got 12 hours a day where I'm singing, just to make sure you're on the same page and you're taking it slow in the beginning. So the answer is yes and no, not till spring.
Oh, well, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you say. I think students underestimate the what they're going through just with the transition into college to then also add, you know, a taxing show on top of it. So, like I said, I don't necessarily agree with the urgency of getting right on stage as a freshman, but it's always asked, so I make sure that I ask the question. So tell us, too, about the performance opportunities. How many shows per year are you doing? How many opportunities are there to get on stage?
Sure. We produce 5 to 6 shows a year, and it varies. It's just like hilarious, actually, how much it varies. So I'm going to just give you next season as a perfect example. So we start out, we do Lyric Under the Stars, which is a large scenes program with a full orchestra that's out at a beautiful sunken garden at a park and retreat center. We do mostly lyrical things. So that would be scenes from operas and also musical theater pieces that are more golden age, just by what instrumentation we have available. Then we immediately are going to go into The Wild Party by Andrew Lippa, which is, of course, contemporary musical theater. We then Great. Hop into Die Fledermaus by Strauss. I know. I told you, it's hilarious, right? And that will be sung in English with German dialogue. Then in the spring, we go into an international like celebration of diversity called Carnival, which is Mardi Gras themed. That is in early February, and it's kind of incredible. It's very catered. There are mimes, there are like fire throwers, and we kind of pick a different kind of place in the globe to celebrate and make sure that we're incorporating language and dance and use our different possible ensembles. So, for instance, we would use like we did Latin America this past year. So we have a Latin American ensemble, and we did everything from like In the Heights to Manuel de Falla to like West Side Story in Spanish to, it was all over the place. We were just celebrating Latin America, which is really, really fun. But that's in our great hall, which seats 2,000 people. And then we're going to move on from February to Fugitive Songs by Miller and Tyson, which is like a folk contemporary musical theater song cycle. And then we're premiering an opera called The Black Square that is by a really incredible Russian composer, Ilya Demutsky. So that's and we're also premiering Met the Musical, based on the Metropolitan Opera, the musical. It's a very funny musical comedy. So it's also a premiere we're doing this coming year. So it really runs the gamut from operetta, opera, golden age, contemporary.
So tell me, the vocal performance major in me has a question that has nothing to do with this podcast at the moment. What is the purpose of sung in English with German dialogue?
Sure. So I think, to be honest, we want to make sure that we incorporate the language. And I think...
So why not just sing it
in
German?
Yeah, I think it's due to the amount of rehearsal time that takes because we're doing so many other things.
Got it. As a singer, I would be way more intimidated by dialogue in German than singing in German, but I was just asking the question because that caught my ear. So interesting that the kids are allowed to do so many different things. That is a wild degree. And the student that you got from us this past year, man, that is just perfect for her. And we were talking about that before we started recording today, but it is the student that studied classically in high school that also loves musical theater and wants some sort of mashup between those two things. That's exactly what they're getting and exactly what they're able to continue studying. My students hear me say all the time, we want to find the programs for you that you're able to do all the things you're good at. And this is such a unique opportunity for students to be able to do that. I'm really excited about that and excited to sort of to continue to learn more about this program, because you guys got started in 2017 and we're just getting off the ground when, you know, the world shut down for a bit. So you're just getting the opportunity to spread your wings right now too.
Yes, exactly. Okay, I'm realizing I misspoke. We are doing the arias in German. You're correct. That doesn't make any sense. We're doing the arias in German. I'm not directing that show. So I was like, that doesn't make sense. No, we're not doing that. We're doing the dialogue in English and the arias in German. Thank you, Tim, for, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. No, he's, like, yes, right. What?
What are you doing?
Yeah,
these
no. Yeah, duh. And the director of that, if she heard this podcast, would be like, what are you saying? No, we're singing in German. The dialogue is in English. No, and it would take far longer to have them try and speak fast in German than sing in German.
I mean, I was going along with it. I was like, okay.
No, you're totally
man,
right.
These kids
singing
are getting their
singing
butts
in German, dialogue in English. Thank you. Yes.
So, Sarah, tell us who else is on faculty. Who are the other key players that the students are going to come in contact with?
Yes, so there's five of us, and the co-chairs, Julie and Nathan Gunn. Some people may have heard of Nathan. Nathan just worked with Stephanie J. Block and Derek Klena in Sunset Boulevard at the Kennedy Center Encores. He played Max just this 2023 and has toured with Mandy Patinkin and sung with Kelly O'Hara many times. He was in Carousel with Kelly O'Hara and was featured in Sondheim's 80th birthday celebration, and he's won 2 Grammys. So he's probably the, when people think, who's your famous faculty, it would be Nathan. And Julie is also in her own right in incredibly notable musician and has played everywhere from Wigmore Hall to the Metropolitan Opera. I mean, she's a renowned accompanist coach. So they are kind of our leaders. Mm-hmm. And I would also say the creative heads of what we do from a large design point all started with their thought of, why don't we encompass all types of sung theater on stage? Way back when this was devised. Then there's my counterpart, who is Michael Tilley, who we got hired at the same time. He's a fabulous accompanist coach who can accompany and play any single style. So he can improvise, he can play jazz, he can absolutely play any opera score, he can really play musical theater. He, for a long time, was the music director and accompanist for Frank D'Ambrosio's tour. So he's phenomenal. And then there's Don Harris, who's directing Die Fledermaus, who's a Gilbert and Sullivan specialist. She's done every single Gilbert and Sullivan performed and directed, and is also a professor of voice for us and a stage director. So there's 5 of us in total.
That's awesome. And I mean, Nathan is a very, very widely known, celebrated, famous singer that he has an incredible career. Is he there on a day-to-day running the program?
He is. He has 21
That's incredible.
Students. It, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he teaches undergrads even. See, I mean, he actually, it's so funny because when he started teaching undergrad, he's like, I actually really am shocked how much I enjoy teaching young singers, because, you know, that was kind of new. And he teaches a lot of graduate students and he directs. So actually Nathan is the one directing our world premiere of Black Square this coming spring. He directed La Boheme and Don Giovanni. And he manages a really large international career with being on campus. So I would say now he kind of is prioritizing contracts that work around the school schedule. Yeah.
That's impressive. And such a feather in the cap of the university to have him there. That's really wow. I actually, honestly, until you just said that, I assumed he was like a figurehead. That was just let's have this person's name attached to it, but he's there day to day.
No, and it's actually very common that a student will have two lessons a week, one with Nathan and one with myself, and will frequently, because they work, like Major Ari is with Nathan, and then come work, you know, how can I cover this Ed Sheeran song with you, and how can I prepare to audition for Jagged Little Pill with you, and we'll go in each other's lessons to really make sure that what we're saying makes sense with the vocal technique so that we're not confusing that student. So Nathan will come in my studio and be like, okay, how are you talking about this? And I'll go in the lesson so that the student's getting double the amount of time from both ends of the spectrum.
Hmm. That's wonderful. So tell us about the university campus and the area where it is. Students, you know, from time to time leave campus and want to do things in the area. So tell us what there is to do and what student life looks like.
Sure. So we are a huge university, right? If we kind of talk about all the all-encompassing, how many students are coming from on and off campus, it'd be 70,000 students. Champaign-Urbana is what we call micro-urban. So it does have a downtown area. It does have a vibrant art scene and a vibrant scene in general. So the thing I have to mention is the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. I was recently researching this, and the Krannert Center, if it was built today, would be $300 million to build. It's state-of-the-art. It was built in the 60s, and it houses four major theaters, and where we are fortunate enough to do most of our work is Tryon Festival Theater, which seats almost 900, and the acoustics are designed for sung theater on stage. We also have the Great Hall, which is where like Joshua Bell and Renee Fleming and Otter McDonald and Long Long and Itzhak Perlman, and I mean, everybody comes, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, to perform in the Great Hall that seats 2,000. The acoustics are near perfect. They were designed by engineers who designed the seating to replicate the human body makeup so that acoustically, no matter how many people are in that hall, it sounds the same. It's stunning. We're so fortunate. We've also got the Colwell Playhouse, which is where the theater department has more traditional works, August Wilson, Tennessee Williams. And we have a black box experimental theater. And we also have an amphitheater at the Krannert Center. So all things could be running at the same time. And then everybody comes out in the lobby during all the different various intermissions. And it's like this cool intermingling of, there was a dance show in Colwell. There was a Shakespeare in the studio theater. We were doing, you know, Fun Home by Jeanine Tesori in the festival. And then there was a Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And we're all gathering in the lobby in intermission.
Wow. Awesome. Let's change gears now and talk about the audition process, the application and audition process for the program. My first question for everyone is always, do you pre-screen?
Do we pre-screen? We don't pre-screen.
Okay. So then walk us through what the audition, the application and audition process is.
You apply, and there's two parts to the application. There's basically the big University of Illinois application, and then there's a music supplemental form, which would be, we got to find you an audition date, and you're going to tell us a little bit about your musical background and your musical interests in kind of an essay format. So most of our auditions are live. I would say 90% of our auditions are done in person. We can audition in an asynchronous format. So we do have sometimes people send videos if they're from far away, and then we would follow up with an interview. And we also do have a slight ear training, or I would say like an oral skills part of our audition process, which it sounds really intimidating and scary, but it's really not. We just, because we're in the School of Music and you're going to be taking musicianship courses, it's important to have one variable that's like that.
And so, again, mashup program, this new thing, opera and musical theater, what are your audition requirements?
We have two songs, and one needs to be, I'm so glad you asked this, Tim, because this is one of the biggest questions I get. One needs to be lyrical in nature. And everyone says, what does that mean? Which is a great question. What does it mean, right? Essentially, that means we don't want to hear your belt voice. We want to hear something that shows a sustained legato line and that you understand consistency throughout the registration and that you can access, especially if you're a treble voice, head voice quality. And then the second piece can be anything. I usually specify to people about lyrical in nature that can be anything from golden age musical theater, that could be folk song, that could be art song, that could even be sometimes contemporary musical theater, like Light in the Piazza is incredibly lyrical. So that would qualify mm-hmm. as a lyrical in nature piece. And the second piece could be absolutely anything, a musical theater selection. So that could be contemporary, that could be classical. We just ask that that would contrast with your lyrical in nature piece. And then a 1 minute monologue. Those are the three items.
And where do you hold your auditions?
We hold the auditions in the music building. So, yeah, okay, I'm like,
sorry, I should have asked some more. So, do you only on campus, or do you do any other?
Oh, we
cities?
Do. We go to Unifieds in Chicago. Yes, we go to Unifieds
in Chicago. Awesome.
And then on sorry. Campus. So those are really the two places.
Awesome. So what is it that you're looking for in a student who is auditioning for you that will make you say, aha, you are right for our program?
I would say the number one thing is creativity, in all honesty, and an enormous amount of curiosity. Clearly versatility, because our program is about versatility, but we're really interested in curating leaders of sung theater on stage instead of looking for a type. We never talk about types ever amongst each other, or I never even think about types. I know my colleagues don't either. We're not interested in, there's this cookie cutter thing and it's happening in the industry right now, so we want to train you to be this type. Like, we don't believe in that really. And there's a lot of people that want that type of training, like the triple threat thing, and we're much more interested in how are you going to lead the industry as a creative? Because there's so much possibility there. Maybe you're the next, you know, musical theater composer or hybrid, you know, opera, new age musical theater type of songwriter that can incorporate use of different languages, or you think of a new way to incorporate movement into operatic works, or it's about a different level of creativity. So we're really interested in students when they've got a kind of creative part of their life that they're interested in. And we're really, of course, if you've got a healthy voice, that's paramount. So I would say, it really, everyone's like, oh, seriously, you say that. But it does not about showing us fireworks. Like, don't come in with some crazy opera aria and then belt. If that's not what you do healthily, we would rather hear Danny Boy. And, you know, like, it's about vocal health. And I think a strong curiosity for who am I as an artist and how can my creativity be fostered within these 4 years? Because that's who we're interested in helping. And advising along the way, because there's so many possibilities. We've got a big 10 amount of resources with infinite possibility during their time here.
Mm-hmm. So one of the last questions that I always ask is, tell us something you're looking forward to that's coming up in your program.
Oh my gosh. One thing that sets us also apart from other schools is we're so dedicated to new works. And I get so excited about the new works. So it was this 3 or 4 years ago, we decided to have, we frequently go to festivals, both for opera, Prototype Festival, and musical theater, like National Alliance for Musical Theater Works. And we decided to bring a one-act opera called Prism We invited the librettist and composer, and we workshopped it here first, and then it won a Pulitzer Prize. So, I mean, how cool that our students were part of something that immediately won a Pulitzer Prize after we first workshopped it. That's so exciting to me.
That's so cool.
And
yeah.
We're so committed to having the actual librettist and composer in residence and working with them every single year. So I'm really excited to see, we're kind of honing Met the Musical this coming year, and Black Square is just an incredibly, incredibly out of the box new work. It's a gorgeous score. It's really kind of existential. I'm so excited to see what happens with working with the librettist and composer and seeing our students be able to be in the moment and see them change things for the students and see the collaboration happen, because it's also teaching the students not about the craft only, but about real working collaboration with professionals. And I love that. That makes me really excited. And we kind of went above and beyond this year. We did 6 world premieres of different operas. They were all one act, but we did that on top of our Met the Musical. I forgot to mention that. So we're really dedicated to new work, and that's something I get super excited about.
Great. Sarah, tell us if there's students or parents listening to this that want to get more information, what's the best way to get in touch?
I would honestly just email me directly. My email is swjohn@illinois.edu. I'm really happy. I'm really passionate about the program and happy to talk to people that are interested. We're new. You know, we've only graduated less than 20 people because we're so new. And it takes time for the word to get out that we exist. And several of our students have said, this is like an amazing secret. I'm like, well, I don't want it to be a secret. Like, it's so cool that you guys exist. This is like what I'm looking for, right? And I'm like, well, that's awesome. I'm so glad you found us, but I would love for more people to know about us. You can also go to our website, which is www.lyrictheater.com. I believe it's com. Yeah.
Maybe you should check that for you. Keep talking. I'll go ahead and look that up. Well, just fill some space and I'll go look right now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, the one.
www.lyrictheater.com is not you.
Okay. We do have a website. If you go to the University of Illinois School of Music website, you can just look under Lyric Theater and it will direct you to us. So that's another way to go. And it talks about each of us on faculty and how to go about auditioning. It's a direct link to application for undergraduate admission. So that would be the best probably way to go. If you are really interested in applying, just go to the University of Illinois School of Music page.
Right. And you could also go to Lyric Theater Illinois.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
If you'd like to do that.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
This is recorded, but it's like live television here, kids.
Oh my gosh.
Sarah, it's been so great to chat with you. And I learned so much about your program today. And we sent the first of our students off to your program with this class. So I'm looking to learn more through them as well as they experience your program year by year. It's always great to learn about a new program, and we look forward to having you back around here real soon.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.